All right, church, y'all ready? Let's pray together. Lord, you are good, and your word is good. And we invite you to teach us. Lord, we humble ourselves before your authority and before your throne this morning. Lord, may your spirit awaken us, lead us into all truth, and guide us into knowing you greater. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was at your house, Andy, and you didn't know I was going to do it, but I did. I decided that I was going to see how long I could hold my breath. I was in your pool. I said, let's see what I can do. So I went underwater and before I went underwater, I grabbed a few deep breaths like I do before I go through the tunnel in Mobile, Alabama every year. And I got my breaths and I descended under and I held myself under with a ladder. And I started to count. 1, 2, 3. My goal was make it to 1.5 minutes. So I began to count. And as the numbers, I got to 60. I don't think I can make it. I got 70, 80. And when I started getting to about 85, I began to see stars. And I thought, I better get up. And I ended up getting up right at about 90. And I think somebody else was timing me there. One of my kids, Eli, probably remembers the exact number. Wherever you are, Eli, there you go. What was my number? Remember? Well, was it 100? Okay, so I made it to 100. 100 seconds holding my breath. Well, I went and looked. I said, is that good? And I found out that was average. My God, man. Well, what's the longest time somebody can hold their breath then? So I looked it up, and the world record had just been set by a magician, entertainer, named David Blaine. Some of you might be familiar with him. The old world record was 16 minutes and 32 seconds. 16 minutes and 32 seconds. And I saw your face, Sherry. Whoa. Yeah, that's what I said, because 1.5 minutes was really hard and nearly killed me. I don't recommend that, by the way. David Blaine set the new record by filling his lungs with oxygen for 30 minutes prior to and lowering his heart rate. And he set the world record at 17 minutes and 4 seconds underwater, holding his breath. Again, I do not recommend that. Children, don't try this at home unless you're a trained professional. I got 100 seconds. I say all that to bring you to understanding that a breath of air at its most in this world today lasts 17 minutes. And the scripture reminds us several times that life is a vapor and life is but a breath. In fact, Psalm 144 verse 3 says this, O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a what? Breath. You guessed it. 17 minutes. Our lives are short, and our time here on earth is fleeting. My purpose this morning is to remind you of the grandeur of our God. And though He's given us a breath to live in the grand scope of eternity here on this earth, He is eternal God. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to the book of Daniel. And we are going to attack Daniel this week. Stacy, I was excited to hear that you were excited about Daniel, and I was too. I've been looking forward to Daniel, and because Daniel has a great message. Let me give you a disclaimer. You can go on YouTube. You can go probably turn on your phone or the radio, and you will find many, many good sermons about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, about Daniel in the lion's den, about the stories of Nebuchadnezzar, and there's even some VeggieTales, I think, out there that can help you out. I'm not going to spend the bulk of my time in those stories this morning because there are a lot of good ones that you can hear. There are a lot of bad ones that you can hear, I'll preface that too. But there are a lot of good sermons. And if you look on the likes of Alistair Begg or R.C. Sproul or many others out there, you will find many, many good sermons. This morning, I want to present to you, as you have either just read Daniel, or if you would like to read it again, the big picture of what Daniel as a book is teaching us. And I think there is a great lesson in the book of Daniel. And it's one that we need to be reminded of 2,600 years later, 2,500 years later. We need to be reminded of the message of Daniel. Because it is a message that says we are a breath, but God is eternal. And if you haven't figured that out yet, even to our younger folks here this morning, there's so much ahead of you in life, but there's so much more ahead of you that you probably aren't even thinking about, and it's called eternity. And many of us who are further along in life are, and some of us even really further along in life, are yearning for that eternal state to come and where we meet God. Daniel chapter 2 begins. Daniel 1 begins, and it's the Daniel and the testing of his diet and trusting that God's way is better than the king's way. And we have that story happening in Daniel 1. And then Daniel 2, there comes a dream. And in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and Nebuchadnezzar is the king, the highest in the land and the highest in all the world at that time. Let me set you up just a bit who Nebuchadnezzar is. Nebuchadnezzar is one who's come in as the ruler of the Babylonians. And the Babylonians, if you remember, are the ones who have just destroyed Jerusalem and who have just taken everybody in that city. They've surrounded it, they've starved it, and they've finally pushed the Jews, the Israelites, out of their sacred city. And what they began to do was pull people group by group out of Jerusalem and bring them into the land of Babylon. And if you remember Ezekiel, we talked about Ezekiel was in that one of those groups, and he was by the rivers and he was seeing visions. Well, Daniel was one of the first ones to come out, and Daniel was a young man. Many believe a teenager during that time when Jerusalem fell, and Daniel was drawn out, but Daniel was special. Daniel had the Spirit of God upon him, and Daniel was one that even the king of Babylon, a pagan god, a pagan man, recognized there's something special about this kid. And he had three friends that you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that's their Babylonian names, not their Hebrew names. But that was a group of wise young men that were going to be trained up to be in the king's court to advise the king. And so Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and the Lord communicates to Nebuchadnezzar in this dream. And not only does the Lord communicate to Nebuchadnezzar, but he communicates to Daniel, who then communicates to you and I and all of the readers throughout history. And in that dream, there's this giant what? Do y'all remember? It's a statue. And the statue is made up of different materials and different sections of his body. And then this statue is destroyed. And near the end of this dream, here is what is said in Daniel's interpretation of the dream. Now, I want to make sure that you understand that this dream and the themes in this dream are going to be things that are going to take place several times through the book of Daniel. And as this statue is made up of four different materials in four different places, Daniel goes on to explain to Nebuchadnezzar that these are four kingdoms that are going to come. And they're going to come and they're going to be parts of history. And as he's explaining this to the king, something striking happens. And this story is more than about the four materials making up a statue, but rather it's about what happens at the end. And Daniel says this in chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that what? That shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall never break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end. And it shall stand forever. I'm sorry, let me read that last verse again. It shall break in pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to an end. And it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain by no human hand, and then it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and these are the kingdoms. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. So what's the message to Daniel? And it is this, that there will be other nations to rise up after Babylon. Hey, king, Babylon's great. You got the Hanging Gardens, and that's nice and all. But it's not going to stand the test of time. In essence, what Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the nation, a man arrogant and sure of himself and confident, your nation is but a breath. Your nation is but a breath. And it will not last. And the nation that comes after you is but a breath. And it will not last. And the nation that comes after that is but a breath. The Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, and Alexander the Great, all of this history that you read of in this incredible book, and you finally get to the Roman age, and then he says, and this kingdom will come. And it will be a kingdom that will crash into pieces, that last nation, and it will stand the test of time. That final kingdom will not be but a breath. So as you read the book of Daniel, what you see, interestingly, is around these narrative stories, you're watching the rise and the fall of nation. You're watching the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. You're watching the rise of kings that are coming into power and overcoming one to another. The Medes, the Persians come in. Both rising, both falling. And what you see is that Daniel, he lives through all of them. He transcends from Israel to Babylon, the Medes, the Persians, and you see the handwriting on the wall. And Belshazzar being told, you're going to die tonight. And they come in and take his life. Kingdom rise, kingdom fall. And it's almost as if we're seeing breathing in and breathing out. Kingdom rise and kingdom fall. And the message that Daniel brings right here, very clearly, is that a kingdom is coming that will never fall. And there will be a king. that comes. Notice two things in verse 44, if I can draw your attention to. The kingdom that Daniel speaks of and that he looks forward to, there are two things in verse 44 about this kingdom. Can you find them? And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that what? Will never be destroyed. And secondly, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. Now imagine Daniel coming in and communicating this message. Daniel was one of the servants of a God whose nation had just been what? Destroyed and left to another people. And here comes Daniel, confidently speaking, that my God is going to establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed and never be left to another people. So guess what Daniel's not talking about? And as readers have read this over the years, this is one thing that we on the other side of history can look back and go, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. What Daniel's not talking about is a political kingdom, right? Because we know that the kingdom of Israel rose and fell and rose and fell and rose and fell and will probably happen again. What we know is that Daniel said that a kingdom will be set up that will never be destroyed and will never be left to another people. He's very clear that this is a kingdom that's not going to be given to another. So what, church, what kingdom can we say that Daniel must be talking about? How about a kingdom that rose up during the Roman Empire that would never be shaken? Can you think of such kingdom that was established during the Roman Empire by, maybe a peasant king that said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. And a kingdom that will never be shaken, because it's not a political kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. What kind of kingdom is it, church? It's a spiritual kingdom. And it's the kingdom that we celebrate this morning. And it's the kingdom that we know that as Christians, we are part of an eternal kingdom. Because political kingdoms are like a breath. And we've seen it throughout history. We see Alexander the Great, who's even mentioned by Daniel. He ruled the world. We see Pharaoh. He ruled the world. We see Caesar. He ruled the world. And we see today presidents, prime ministers, emperors. But guess what? None of those kingdoms have stood the test of time, and none of them have fulfilled never being destroyed and never being given to another. But one. And that is the one that the peasant king started and said, this kingdom will never fail. So what does this do for us? You may ask, what do we do with this? Well, let me give you a few points of application, if I may. Christians need to think big. Christians need to think big. And I want to remind you this morning to think bigger than you're thinking. Many people come to the scripture and they say, well, I need something for my today or something to help me through today. And we don't think bigger than even today. Christians, when you come to the scripture, we should be thinking, I need something that's going to be eternal for me. And when you come to the scripture, it should be things that we think of what's going to help me after today. And while there is great value for looking at things that can help us in today, there is greater value, I will argue, in things that will help us for eternity. And it's the old adage, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Not only this, though, church, let me give you this as well. I believe it affects our prayer life significantly. Because oftentimes our prayers are wrapped up in what we're feeling now and today. And let me say, I'm not saying don't pray for today. But let me say this, I am saying don't pray only for today. Many of you know I've got a pain in my neck. I've got problems in my neck. 3 herniated discs, bulging disc, numbness throughout my arm, depending on how I stand. All kind of issues. My prayers, I have tried specifically to keep them as, Lord, use this for whatever purpose you have for me. And if it be your will, I'll gladly receive healing, but if it be your will not to, then I'll gladly receive bearing this for your glory. If I had prayed for only today, my prayer would be, Lord, heal me today. I'm calling upon you. Lord, you've asked me to ask anything in your name and you would do it. And Lord, I'm asking, bring me healing today. That would be my guided prayers. But the scripture has taught me better. And it's taught me that for whatever reason, the Lord has brought this into my life. And that my life is not just about today. Right, Granny? It's not just about today. My life is not about today. And Daniel teaches us that lesson. And he was teaching Nebuchadnezzar about that lesson. And he's teaching his reader about that lesson. And he's teaching you and I about that lesson. Is that there is a kingdom that is eternal and that matters more than Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And there's a kingdom that matters more than the Roman kingdom. And there's a kingdom that matters more than the USA. And it's the kingdom called the kingdom of God. And that's not to say that none of those are meaningless. Unless you place them in the scope of eternity. And Christians, I believe that we are called to think with eternal eyes and eternal mindset. And that's what brings Christians into being cultural Christians, into being effective Christians. Christians who can think past today. And as martyrs of our past, John Huss being about to be burned at the stake, and they say, recant of your Christian beliefs. And he says, no. Because John Huss knew that his life was not about today. And I wouldn't be talking about John Huss if he hadn't said no. Look in Daniel chapter 4. Are y'all still with me? The message of Daniel is ultimately about God's greater plan. Look at Daniel 4 verse 16 with me, please. Again, in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Let his mind, Nebuchadnezzar's mind, be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. Now here again, this is Daniel speaking to, regarding Nebuchadnezzar, about him being arrogant and puffed up. And the Lord says, I'm going to take his mind away from him and he's going to think like an animal. He's going to eat the grass out in the woods. He's going to go mad. And the Lord says, I'm going to humble him. And Nebuchadnezzar actually humbles himself before God in this incident. And Daniel says, I'm going to change his mind from a man's mind to a beast's mind and let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers. the decision by the word of the holy ones. Listen closely. To the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets it over the lowliest of man. Daniel, in interpreting and teaching, is teaching a greater message and saying, hey, King, Most High, you're going to be turned into a grass-eating fool until I teach you that it's I, the Lord, that raise up kingdoms and tear them down, and raise them up and tear them down for my great purpose. Hey, Christian, think big. Your life is but a breath. And over the span of our lives, we may face presidents that come and presidents that go, and political agendas that come and agendas that go. But you are a Christian. And your principles do not what? They do not change. And what was really popular 30 years ago in Washington, they don't even talk about anymore. And what was really popular 30 months ago in Washington, they're not even talking about anymore. But Christian, we have a standard and a God who does not change. Thank the Lord. And we can live consistent lives in any culture, under any president, under any king. Because we have been given eternal standards and an eternal message of salvation. We are people of an eternal God. We are not people of a party or people of a regime. We are people of the kingdom. And Christians, unless we think big, we lose that. We miss that great truth that we are people with eternal values and eternal goals. That's important, Christian. Application. It is very tempting for each of us in our culture to simply entertain our days away. The temptation is either find the newspaper, find the TV, find the Snapchat, find the video game, find the sport, find the hobby, find the job, find the relationship. Find the thing that will entertain our days away, and we forget that there's work, there's kingdom work to be done. And if we're not investing into our church, and if we're not investing into the kingdom of God here in Plaquemine, then we are missing the eternal purpose and our calling in life. So application, are you investing into the kingdom of God? Are you using God's established method, the local church? Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do around this world for his kingdom? Daniel lived through kingdoms. I would be remiss if I didn't mention one other thing in the book of Daniel. Can you bear with me for a few more minutes and see even the best part? Ethan? I got a nod yes. Daniel chapter 7. Watch this. Not only is there an eternal kingdom, if you're real sharp, Gabe, you're going to know. Not only is there eternal kingdom, but there's an eternal, well, let's find out. Daniel 7, verse 9. And as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days, that is the Father, the Ancient of Days, the one who is sitting on the throne from all time, the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. Sound familiar? Anybody who studied Ezekiel with us? Verse 10. A stream of fire issued and came forth from him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over and burned with fire, as the rest of the beast, and their dominion was taken away. But their lives were prolonged for a season. Now this is again another illustration to beasts coming, representing kingdoms. And then one even greater coming. And then look in verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His rule is an everlasting rule which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. I hope that excites you, because what Daniel sees is a vision that was fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus, he came here on this earth, he presented himself in that Roman Empire under that beast. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And he declared himself to be the king. As Jesus declared himself to be the king, he sat before the ruler of that day who asked him, are you a king? And as Pilate asked him that question, Jesus opens the book of Daniel to everyone who's ever read it. And he said what? My kingdom is not of this world. And the readers, we as readers, we go, oh, that's what it is. And to prove it, just to prove it, and to prove everyone around, my kingdom's not of this world, what does he do? But he lays down his life. And is lifted up upon the cross and bears the iniquity of my sin. And Christian, bears the iniquity of your sin and takes it to the grave with him. And 3 days later, what does he do? He leaves that old sin in that grave. He rises from the dead, and he purchases us new life for all of those who would repent and believe the gospel, from those who would walk away from the kingdoms of this world, the world, the kingdoms that say, come, I can give you happiness. Come, I can give you happiness. No, come and I will give you happiness. All of the kingdoms that reach out, and there's Jesus saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Many years ago, I sat outside on a campground in Texas somewhere. And my Sunday school teacher read me, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he said, you need to come to Jesus. And in that moment, I knew if I died, I was doomed, and that the weight of my sin would keep me guilty before the throne of God, and I knew that I needed a Savior. So I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, He saved my soul. He didn't have to. When I cried out for mercy, He heard my cry and He saved my soul. And so maybe one of you, maybe some of you, need to do the same thing today, is to recognize that the eternal kingdom has an eternal king, and that eternal king has the right to damn or to save us. And my hope is for you in this room, that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the king will come back one day, and he will take all of his who are here, and he will establish us in the eternal kingdom. Think big. Think big. Because your life is but a breath. Let's pray together. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear the call of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And Lord, save us to the uttermost. Lord, we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.